MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Chris Rule. He's head of client solutions at 10X Investments. Chris, appreciate the time. 10X is looking to essentially switch global equity allocation within funds. Before we get to that, let's do a bit of background to it. I mean, over the last decade, a broad global ETF has done incredibly well in rands. It really has been a place to invest.
No, absolutely. And, you know, in the last 10 years, if you just bought the MSCI World, you've done around 14% annually in rands. And, you know, on a real basis, that's substantially above your long-term historical return expectation you should get from global equity. So it's been a great place to be. There's no doubt. There is no doubt.
I mean, that's almost doubling every 5 years. The problem now is that with the market, I mean, we're sitting here, you know, US markets are doing great, but it's largely driven by the Magnificent Seven, and their PEs have got massively stretched. And even the sort of unmagnificent 493, they're not cheap either. US markets, however you skin it, are just looking expensive. And we've been here before, and that often means that, you know, forward returns are less exciting.
No, totally. And, you know, it's one thing if we look at the forward return expectation or for, you know, elevated valuations. And we know that, you know, as an investor, we need to lower those expectations quite substantially. In fact, we've got developed markets return expectations at 1% real when, you know, long-term average should be more like 5-6. That's a valuation story. But if you think about portfolio construction and the reality that this very diversified global basket is not so diversified anymore. In fact, relatively highly concentrated. You know, US equities alone has about 37% in seven companies, and that's that Magnificent Seven you just referred to. You know, the ACWI, which is both developed markets and emerging markets, you know, and US equities only a component of that. If you look at the top 10 holdings there, it's up at 22%. So, you know, that is extremely concentrated relative to anything, you know, that we've seen in recent history. And yes, absolutely. That's been driven by this kind of spectacular run in US equities and concentrated around technology, advertising, you know, and more recently, semiconductor industry, which has kind of blown up off the back of AI expectations and how AI is going to fundamentally change everything we do. So we find ourselves with exceptionally high valuations on these companies, which means in order for an investor to receive the commensurate return, we need perfection out of those companies in terms of growth expectation, in terms of general broad economic expectations. And we don't necessarily think that that's a high probability investment.
Yeah. So the switch you're making is from that broad sort of market cap global ETF. You're looking at the 10X S&P Global Dividend Aristocrats ETF. I remember when you and then your colleague at the time, Gareth Stobie, launched this ETF, and it really, it's not focusing on high dividend yield. It's focusing on dividend as a sort of token of quality. If you've got a history of paying dividends consistently, that's a good sign for a business.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reality is that these quality companies, these kind of dividend payers and companies with consumer staple kind of underpins and sound balance sheets, they have been completely out of vogue in global equities for the last decade. Even I would go as far as to say, you know, post-GFC, there was what was termed a flight to quality and a hunt for yield. Quality companies rallied. But since then, they really have been unloved on a relative basis if we look at global equities. And all of the capital has flown into these large tech-based companies. So we look at it in two ways. Yes, there's an allocation to what we see as quality companies with very strong fundamental underpins that are well diversified away from basically advertising revenue, AI, and the semiconductor industry. And also the construction of the portfolio itself is equally weighted in the main part. And so you've got a substantially lower concentration risk around your top holdings.
It's less US, which is not the worst thing in the world right now. Because, I mean, I remember back in the day when in a broad global market cap ETF, US was around 55. It's now, I think, north of 65. So it's less US and also a bunch less tech, which is exactly those sort of caution hotspots you've been mentioning.
Absolutely. So we see it as a way to protect investors and get back to a closer return expectation that we would expect from global equities, closer to that 5-6% real over the long term. Mm-hmm. And that's based off fundamentals evaluation. And also in the context of the potential of an economic slowdown with some of the economic data that's coming out at the moment, and the expectation that the economy simply cannot run as hot as it has in the last 10 years, this kind of flight and this move to quality should provide a strong underpin to produce equity-like returns with a much lower level of risk and a much higher probability than investing into a concentrated basket of securities.
And what's important here is some of the listeners might be thinking, I'm giving up upside. But in truth, the earnings of that Dividend Aristocrat ETF has actually outperformed the S&P over the last decade, which says a huge amount around A, the quality, and B, the frothiness in S&P.
Yeah, there's a total fundamental sort of disconnect there. You know, earnings and price should essentially track each other over the long term if we look at the equities. And that just simply hasn't been the case. But it all comes down to this incredible multiple expansion in those seven shares. You know, those multiples up at 30 of the Magnificent Seven as a price earnings multiple. If you look at the long-term average of that exact basket, it's more like 20. And then if you look at the long-term average of the S&P, it's more like 15. So that demand has really meant that investors have paid up and paid high valuations for those seven shares. And at the same time, you've got this large basket, well-diversified companies in the US who've grown their dividends and have never missed a dividend growth in absolute terms over a period of 25 years. And they're trading at multiples of half. So we think that's an attractive value proposition at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. Last question. There are going to be some clients with 10X investments out there who got maybe living annuities, maybe retirement products with yourselves. I mean, for them, this is just going to be a seamless process happening in the background.
Yeah, so this is the house view that we've been expressing in our multi-asset solution. So in particular, you know, our large flagship is our future fund. So this happens in the background. This is done through the lens of our, you know, our outcomes-based objective and, you know, the risk management process that sits inside of our investment process. And so that's a seamless process. We, of course, have the levers for other investors to use this. So we've got the Global Dividend Aristocrats ETF, which trades on screen. Investors can access that. That now has about $3.5 billion of assets in it. So it has been well received by the market. And certainly we've seen allocators start to increase their allocation to that. So those are kind of the mechanisms that you can access this equity view through at the moment.
We'll leave it there. Chris Rue, Head of Client Solutions, 10X Investments. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.